Good evening, everybody. Welcome to National Liberty Alliance. It's November 20th, 2023, and this is our Monday night show that starts at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. This is our Monday call that we do, free talk and training. So John is not going to be here tonight. And we'll take off from there. I don't really know where we're going to go from here. I have some good material to put out there. Who do we got here? We got Jan and Eric. Okay, good. You know, there's a lot of stuff going on right now, and it's hard to keep track of what's really going on in the nation and in the world. And we know that this was designed to be that way, and I do believe there is a plan that's being followed, and it's pretty exciting, and it's pretty bold, and it's pretty brave, and you're probably lucky that you're able to see these things. I mean, there's people that wanted to see this happen because this is it. This is the big one, Martha, as Red Fox used to say on Sanford and Son. This is it. It's the big one. That's what we're going through, the big one. And it's right around the corner, whether you know it or not. So I do believe a lot of the stuff that we've been doing, you know, we've been beating our head against the wall for years because everything is overtaken. The judiciary is overtaken, all the judges, all the prosecutors, all the politicians, everybody's been compromised. They took China money, they took this, they took that. The Kassirian Mafia's got their fingers in everything. So, you know, we go into courts and they ignore us, but we did make a record and we are in there, and that's all gonna come back out. It's not gonna go away. Just like everything that the deep state has done to us is not gonna go away. There's going to be restitution. There's going to be prices to pay. And I do believe there'll be tribunals. And it's going to be a long process because many, many people were damaged in this attempt to take over and ruin the sovereignty of every country on earth and put us under that Kazarian Mafia, Rockefeller, Rothschilds, you know, those nine families that control the world. And they did a lot of stuff that is, and it's all documented. You know, this technology that they're using to try to lock us down is a double-edged sword. So we have a record of everything they did, when they did it, who they did it with, everything. Everything has been documented. And that's not going to be forgotten. So, I hear music. Where is that coming from?
I was just noodling on my guitar while listening to you.
Oh, jeez. Well, I should have had you do the interruption.
I could have.
Yeah. Well, John usually has a Bible reading and that, and I'm prepared, and I don't know where we were last week, so I didn't prepare that, and it got late. Too late, too fast for me. He only just let
me. You can always read James 1.
Well, do you want to do it? I'll let you read it.
Let me get my Bible. Just give me a minute.
So,
I like the part in James 1 where it says, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering." He'll get to it.
Mm-hmm. Yep, sir. Turn right after Hebrews and you got it. There we go.
Where's your app on the phone?
James 1. Praise you, Lord, reading your word. The letter of James, chapter 1. James, the servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind, and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let the brother of the low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass, he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tired, when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say, when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then, when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift, every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed indeed. If any man among you seem to be religious, and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion, and undefiled before God and the Father, is this: to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. James chapter 1.
James chapter 1.
Thank you, sir. Well done. Gerard, it's all yours. You got to unmute.
Thank you very much. There was a lot of lessons in that one, and you could break that down and take almost any two of those sentences and make it a meditation for the day. A lot of information there, you know.
Power packed.
Yeah.
That's why I like James. Whole book is like that.
Right. So lots of good stuff. Anyway, Terry, can you open up the queue? I'm not quite sure. I don't want to knock anybody out. Let's get the queue open.
Okay. Hang on a second. Q&A mode.
There you go. Okay, so.
You list star 6 to get in the mode, or click on the button. Let's see, which one is it? I forget.
Star 6 and a 1.
Star 6 and a 1, but if they're on a computer, it's different.
Oh.
There's a button that says, I want to get in the queue, or something. Look around on the menus on the bottom. It's pretty easy. But if star 6 and 1 if you're on a phone.
Okay. Yeah, there should be. It says join the queue by opening their app and selecting ask question or by entering star 6 on their dial pad if they're called. So it's just if you're in the app, you just click ask a question. And if you're on a phone, it's star 6 and I guess and a 1. It doesn't say that here, but anyway, that's where we are. So if you want to have anything you want to discuss, you can get in the queue.
You can also ask Jan for questions.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, maybe we'll start with that. Any questions that were mailed in, we'll try to get them out of the way.
Well, Gerard, I don't know what to tell you, but I have zero questions for tonight. No one sent in a question, so...
That's okay. It gives me more time.
I know. Take it and run with it.
Okay. Well, we'll get done with that quick. I got a couple things I want to focus on because I think they're very pertinent to the times that we're living in. And I know we do, you know, we run the gamut of everything. But if you look at our website, we have everything on there. We have health information. We have technology. How to protect your home and your cars and stuff from EMPs and all this stuff that John has under current events, you know, and it's a very good site, NLA. If nobody's familiar, if you're not familiar, you should join and go click around in there. You could spend a year in there and never hit all the knowledge that's in there in the videos. It's unbelievable, but it's going to be very important as things unfold that we're able to function the way our forefathers did, are the ones that settled this country who were self-sufficient. And a lot of that stuff we've lost. And basically all we know today is how to treat symptoms. And we don't even address the causes. We think that the causes, we think that the symptoms are the causes. And that's nothing could be further from the truth. Doctors today think that the only thing for you, they don't heal you, they manage you. When they give you a high blood pressure medicine, they intend for you to be on that the rest of your life. That's not medicine, I'm sorry. You know, I went to a doctor and he said, well, I run these tests and I look at how your numbers come out. And any number that's off, then I give you the appropriate medicine, and we try to push those numbers back down to where they belong. Well, if that doesn't just totally take the individuality out of it, it's like paint by the numbers, you know. And he's sitting there telling me this stuff with a straight face, and you know they'll put you on 4 or 5 medications. Full well knowing that they've never tested more than 3 Medicaid, 2, I don't even know if they've done 3, to see what the effects of the 2 of them together are, you know. And so we have a lot of people, and a lot of people die every year from medicine goof-ups and medicine symptoms. And I've practiced a lot of natural stuff, and I took homeopathy for over a while. You never stop practicing it as long as you're using it. But I took classes. I actually went to a place, me and my sister, and we did that pretty much nonstop, you know, every week for 10 years. So I know quite a bit about it, and I use it all on my kids and stuff. But one of the things they taught me is to figure out what the exciting cause is. When somebody comes in, they got a chief complaint. What's causing that? And, you know, these principles hold true. They're universal. You can approach government the same way. What's causing the problem, you know? Today we have a group of people that believe that they will never let any good crisis go to a waste because it gives them an opportunity to raise money and to do what they want to do. So for them, a crisis is a good thing. They don't want to heal it. They want to use it, you know. But my own father, for instance, he would say, well, I'm having this problem and I'm having that problem. And so I'd sit down to take his case. And I go, okay, so what's the doctor got you on? And he'd give me a list of the medications he was on, because he ended up being diabetic late in life. I mean, he lived into his 80s. He died when he was like 85 years old. But he was on medicine, many, many medicines for the last, 20 years of his life. He was on constant medication, and eventually he was taking insulin with shots, and there was no need for any of it. And he had some prostate symptoms. He never got his prostate out or had cancer, but he was taking medicine. And so I'd sit down and I would see what medicines they had him on, Lipitor, this, that. And so then I would look up the medicines in the PDR, the physician's death reference, and I would go down through his symptoms, and I would find out. I said, Dad, look, you got almost every symptom, side effect, that this pharmaceutical medicine lists as side effects. And so I can give you, I can treat you based on your symptoms, but I'm not really treating you. I'm treating your medicine symptoms. And you'll get some relief from the medicine symptoms, but you're not going to get better, because eventually that medicine's going to stop working. Your health's going to break down, because the body only can do so many things. My mother used to say, when you're eating something that's bad for you, the first thing the body does is react. You get sick. You get a stuffy nose. You sneeze. You get a stomach ache, this, that. But if you continue to do it, if you insist on eating that, then eventually the body goes, well, I guess this is what we're eating. So then what it does is it tolerates. And the human body has an amazing ability to figure out how to tolerate poisons for a long, long time. But the end step is it breaks down. And once it breaks down from you taking something or eating something, eating a poor diet or taking medication that has all these horrible side effects, it's very, very, very hard to come out of that. And just the same as the country, our forefathers, and more than one of them said, once liberty's lost, chances are you're not going to get it back. And it's just like allowing your immune system to go down to such a point that you can end up with permanent damage, lose the ability to produce those things that fight this inflammation and these causes, these effects in the body. So, everything is holistic and synergetic. So all this stuff, we have to look at ourselves and what's going on today is it's becoming more and more clear that this is a fight between good and evil. There's going to be less and less gray. It's going to be easier to see what's going on, because it's going to be more of a yes or no answer. But it's always been very, very confusing, except you go stick to the fundamental principles, and that's in health, and that's in politics and religion too. So you got to heal the whole system, and then everything can run the way it's supposed to. Anyway, I came across this woman, and I want to run her video here because I thought it was very good. She's a holistic healer from Australia, and they've kind of kicked her out of Australia. She was doing so many good things. She has, she's on YouTube. She's got her own channel. And if you read write-ups like on Wikipedia, they call her a kook. Well, because she's healed over 20,000 people, she's a kook. Obviously, right? So her name is Barbara O'Neill, and she's just one of the people that's out there doing this natural stuff. And let me see. I'm going to share my screen because I have a couple of videos I want you guys to get the. Terry, how do we put the URLs up so people can get them?
You really can't. You got to call it out. So if it's a big long one, nobody's going to copy that.
Well, that's too bad, because actually all you got to do is put the name. Well, I'll show how to. Let's see. Let me just get my screen here.
Yeah, share your screen and show them how you get it. That's probably the easiest way. And some of those are going to be in, they're going to be on the phone. They're not going to be able to see it.
Yeah, well, anyway.
Gerard, she has a Telegram channel that I have on my Telegram interface. I can't remember the name of it, but I'll look it up and tell you what it is. But if you go there, you get a bunch of her videos, and it's really awesome.
Yes, this one was on Facebook, and it's just so good. It's 27 minutes long, and I thought it was great. And I mean, even if you can't see her chalkboard, she's talking, and it's and believe me, it's worth it. She also has, here's this site here. I did a search on Bing for her, and here's a bunch of her videos on Bing. You know, I put in Barbara O'Neill, and I put YouTube. YouTube, I don't know, they're probably not going to keep her on there too long because they'd like to censor. But this YouTube video here, Barbara O'Neill number 10, it's an hour and 5 minutes long, and she gets into a whole slew of stuff of what to do and what you can use, things like potato poultices, ginger, and she tells you when to use which one and what they do, and it's just packed full of good stuff, you know, that you can use, and it's all simple stuff. You know, a lot of this is older stuff that's been forgotten that maybe your mother or your grandmother used, and they foo-foo it, but meanwhile, it was real medicine, and it works, and she's proven that it works. So this one, salt and water. She has a show just on salt and water, and all this home remedies. Very, very good. But speaking from a holistic point, this one here I thought was great. We're going to listen to this for a minute and try to get the main points out of it because I thought it was amazing because she talks about, you know, when illness gets into the body and what really causes that. And, I mean, other than having bad habits and stuff, well, why do you have bad habits? Guess what? You have a brain and you have a soul and a psyche, and that all is important that you're working on everything when you're healing yourself. You know, your mental, your physical, and your spiritual. And if you're leaving one out, you're not going to get better. So let's listen to her here when she talks about the limbic system and the brain. Very, very amazing stuff. And habits, and how to form habits, and how to break habits. So, this is going to help us heal the country with this type of knowledge.
It is in this part of the brain where God communicates with man. You can rewire your brain, show you how you can actually change even the way that you think. Isn't that good news? These pathways are built in our brain. We can rewire our brain right up until the day we die. We can rewire our brain. When you have a look at the head, you will see seven avenues of access into the brain. There are two ears, there are two eyes, there are two nostrils, and there is a mouth. Everything we hear or have ever heard, everything we see or have ever seen, everything we smell, and everything that goes into our mouth, whether it be food or drink, has an effect on the brain. Our decisions determine our destiny. So how important that we know something about the decision-making part of our brain. This is an area that many people are ignorant. So we're going to begin by looking at the brain. Now the brain, from side on, basically, it looks a little bit like this. And there is what's called the limbic system. And the limbic system basically takes up about that part of the brain. And this limbic system is often called the emotional brain. And I think we all know about emotions. And I think we all know that emotions aren't a very good guide because they go up and down like the wind. But there's another part of our brain that God designed to actually control that limbic system, that emotional part of the brain. So to do this, we're going to have a look at the brain from top down. From top down, you will have a look at the brain like this, and in the front part of the brain, and we're going to call this the right side of the brain and the left side of the brain, and I think the way you're looking it is. So in the right part of the brain, you could call that the I won't section. That's down there. Now this is a very important part of the brain. Where it's very important is, no, I won't have that cigarette. No, I won't have that cup of coffee. No, I won't have that big steak. I'll have a bowl of lentils instead. And on the left part of the brain is the I will. And the I will part of the brain is also very important because I will get out of bed and exercise this morning. I will go to bed early. I will make decisions that are helpful for my body. So you've got the I won't and you've got the I will. And we need a little bit of balance in there, and that's where we come to. Right in the center is the I want part of the brain. What do I want? Do I want a healthy body? And if I want a healthy body, then I can trigger the I won't do that or I will do that. And God designed our brain so that this part of the brain, just here in the center, is where our goals are. It's called the prefrontal cortex, or sometimes it's called the frontal lobe. And this is where our will is. This is where we make our decisions. And the I will or the I want threaded through the won't, through the I want. That's actually what should govern our decisions. And that's so important because our decisions determine our destiny. So in the front part of the brain, this is where our intellect is. This is where our reasoning powers reside. And this is where judgment takes place. It is in this part of the brain where God communicates with man. In Isaiah 1:18, the Bible says, come, let us reason together. You see, this is where the reasoning happens. What should I do? Should I stay in bed and have another hour? Or should I get out of bed right now? And that influences whether we do the I will or the I want. That's the way God planned it. Unfortunately, there are many things today that people are doing that are actually clouding or compromising the part where our goals are, the part where our intellect, reason and judgment is. And we've been looking at that this week, though I haven't actually defined it as such. So dehydration compromises it. Late nights compromise it. Lack of exercise compromises it. Bad food compromises it. Bad air compromises it. So on the other hand, when we're well hydrated, when we're well slept, when we've got nourishing food in our bodies, when we're breathing in fresh air, we're having sunshine every day, then the I want part, in fact, one author called it the guardian. That's the guardian that actually influences the wills and the wants part of the brain, which are, of course, affected by the limbic system, which is your emotional, your feeling part of the brain. I'd like to use as my framework the 7 mental laws that govern the brain and show you how you can rewire your brain, show you how you can actually change even the way that you think. Isn't that good news? The first law is the law of cause and effect. Effect follows cause with unvarying degree all through nature. And never should the effect be blamed as the cause.
And this is what we do all day, every day, in modern medicine and in other things, and in government even. Pay attention, this is very, very good stuff.
I had a lady come to me and she said, I found the cause of all my problems, I've got chronic fatigue syndrome. I said, no, that's not the cause of all your problems, that's actually the effect. Even when someone says, I've got depression, do you know you can't just get depression? Depression is actually an effect. It is not a cause. Dehydration affects depression. Late nights depression affects depression. It's Newton's third law of motion. To every action, there is an equal and an opposite reaction. Proverbs 26 verse 2 states that the curse causeless shall not come. You know what that means? No problem happens without a cause. There is always a reason. In fact, to say someone just has something is to defy basic science. So we should always be looking at the cause of a problem. And sometimes the problem for depression could be too much coffee. Dehydration. So that's the best place to start. When someone comes to me wanting help with depression, do you know that's what I do? I say, start drinking more water. Start easing off your coffee. You could stop your coffee straight away, but you might suffer. A clear indication that it's not doing you any good. I say, start going to bed early. Start limiting your technology time. Start seriously assessing what you're watching and the effect it's having on your brain. Start exercising. But I don't feel like exercising. Yes, that's your limbic emotional brain. But what do you want? I want to feel good. I want to conquer my depression, so I will go and exercise. Can you see how that all threads into each other? The second law is the law of choice. And the law of choice, as you can see, is determined in that I want, the frontal lobe part of the brain, your guardian, where your goals are. This is what you feel like doing, but this is what you want, so that influences your decisions. And when you're well slept, well hydrated, well sunned, well exercised, well fed, that I want part of the brain is a lot stronger. But we've got something else coming here, and that's habit. You've heard of habit? Habit can be our best friends or our worst enemies. To understand habit, I'm going to draw your brain cell. Here's your brain cell. It's your nerve cell. And we have 1 trillion of these in our brain. They're the dendrites or the receiving stations. And this is the arm that comes out of the nerve cell. These are the little filaments on the end. They're the boutons. Here is the next nerve cell. Our nervous system is an electrical system, and it does not touch. They do not touch each other. They communicate with each other via little chemical messengers in the brain. And these little chemical messengers jump from cell to cell. So the chemical messengers come in, they're encapsulated in the nucleus, and then they're sent down the arm. And they come into the boutons, and then they're released out to the next nerve cells. Now, those messages can be traveling anywhere between 2 and 200 miles an hour. Well, in a crisis, anyone that's been in a war zone, they know you're moving, and you're moving very fast. Now, even though you're just sitting here, your brain cells can be moving fast because you're considering everything that you're hearing right now. And when you are hearing the things you're hearing, your brain is processing it through your I want. In fact, you're probably hearing some things and you're probably thinking to yourself, I won't have that coffee anymore. Or maybe you're hearing some things and you might start to say, yeah, I'm going to do that. I'm going to go to bed earlier tonight so that I will get up and I will. Can you see it all threads through that? It's an amazing brain. In fact, science still doesn't totally understand the full functioning of the brain. If someone says, do you have a computer? You have. You've got the most amazing computer on the planet, which is the brain. And did you know that everything you're hearing today, you will be processing. You'll be processing through your what you want, through your goals. You'll be processing it through your intellect, reason, and judgment. And you'll be putting in certain spots. And when you go to sleep tonight, between the hours of 9 p.m. and 2 a.m., then your brain starts processing and filing the things that you heard today. It's an amazing process. How does it know where to put it? It knows where to put it because where your want put it. So if you hear that coffee's no good, in fact, it interferes with those neurotransmitters in the brain, causing a chemical imbalance in the brain, if you hear that and you think, well, I don't care. I want my coffee. I will have it. When you go to bed tonight, it's going to put it in the spot. I will continue to have it. You see that? God gave us a wonderful thing when he gave us choice. You see, God is not in every man. You would never say God was in Hitler, Mugabe, Stalin. No, no, no. God gave mankind choice. And what a gamble is that? You see, God is a gentleman. He will never force entry. In Revelation 3, verse 20, there's a lovely illustration. It shows God standing at the door and knocking. He says, "And he said, Behold, I stand at your door and knock, and if any man hear my voice and opens the door, he said, I'll come in. How do we open the door? It's right here. What do you want? I will open that door. He will come in. I won't open that door. I want to do my own thing. He says, okay. He's a gentleman. But it does explain the heartache that we see on planet Earth. Some people say, how could God allow that to happen? Unfortunately, God gave mankind choice. He didn't want robots. Do you want people to love you because they choose to love you, or they've got to love that person? That doesn't have it. In fact, there's a name for forced love, and that is rape. In fact, there's no love there at all. No, God is a gentleman. He woos us. He knocks. No, he knocks. And God wants us to hear and open the door according to reason, intellect, and judgment. That makes sense. When you get to know a person, what do? You spend time with them. You tell them your life. You listen. How do you listen to God? You know when he speaks to us? Very early in the morning. So how do you hear that voice? You have to go to bed? Early the night before. And there's a verse that's in Isaiah 50 verse 4. It says, the Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I may know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakeneth morning by morning. He wakeneth my ear to hear as the learned. I love those early, early hours of the morning. We've got to do our part. God gave us choice. And one choice that can free human beings from much heartache is the choice to forgive. Let me tell you the story of a man who came to us. His name was Doug. I said, did you have a healthy, happy childhood? He said, no, I didn't. My father yelled at me all my life. He was 40. He had prostate cancer. I said to him, oh, sometimes that's all you can say. Oh. I kept moving on, because I could see it really irritated you. I talked to him later after the lecture. I said, Doug, you've heard about the power of forgiveness. Have you forgiven? You don't understand. He yelled at me all my life. I said, I can understand. That must have been very, very hard, Doug. But you've got quite a serious illness now, and I believe that for you to heal, you need to forgive your father. You don't understand. His voice was rising. I changed the subject. 2 minutes later, Doug said to me, I've done it. Oh. Congratulations, Doug. Now, his limbic system, his emotional brain said, don't do this. Can you see that? And all his life, he'd been harboring this. My father yelled at me. My father yelled at me. He yelled at me. He yelled at me. He yelled at me. Can you see what's happening in his brain? What was happening in his brain was he was developing a very strong habit pathway of anger towards his father. You see, it's not a limbic emotional brain decision, or you'll never do it. It's an I want decision. What do I want? I want to be free. Notice what he said. I've done it. No emotion there at all. How could there be? How could there be? Don't wait for your emotions. They'll hold you back. You see, the third law of the brain states that your words affect your feelings. So don't wait till you feel like it, or you possibly will never do it. That's why it's so important to know about your limbic system. To know about your emotional feeling system and understand that your guardian, your Omot, that's where you make your decisions. Doug wanted to be free. He said, I've done it. I said, congratulations, Doug. You've probably made one of the most important decisions of your life. When he said, I will forgive, what's still the strongest pathway? My father. Yada miyomala. Now the next time he's tempted with what his father did, he has a choice. Which pathway will he go down? Because he didn't want to be burdened with this anymore, he used his intellect, judgment, and his will, his reason, and he said, I won't relate that story anymore because I want to be free from this. I will go down my new pathway. And every time he was challenged, he said, I have forgiven. I have forgiven. Till eventually, he had a new pathway. And because he didn't go down that old pathway anymore, it got thinner and thinner. The research shows it takes 21 days to form a new habit. 21 days of going down the new pathway, it's a physical pathway in the brain. 21 days of not going down the old one, it gets fainter and fainter. When we cherish or entertain negativity, thorns grow. Thorns grow between the dendrites. You see, when a negative thought comes in, let's do it with Doug. When a negative thought comes in, my father yelled at me all my life, it's not fair. It comes like a breeze through the branches of your trees. And at that point, you can hold it, we can let it go. Now, all his life, Doug had been holding on to it. He yelled at me, it's unfair, he yelled at me. And thorns were growing. And he had prostate cancer, physiosomatic diseases. When he heard this, and with my little bit of a shove, he made a decision. I won't go there anymore. I will forgive. His goals, his reason, intellect, judgment said to him, it's time to stop. Yeah. Does it ever say to you, it's time to stop? And that night, after he'd made the decision, a little bit of battle, a couple of times that day, but he stood firm. When he went to sleep that night, little cells were activated. They're called glial cells. And your glial cells are your body's vacuum cleaners. And there are more glial cells in your brain than nerve cells. And because Doug made the decision to forgive, when he went to sleep between the hours of 9 and 2, the little glial cells came along and they vacuum cleaned up all the thorns. Science is now showing that forgiveness has a physiological effect on our brain to clean it up. When you're lying in bed about to go to sleep, just think, wow, when I'm asleep tonight, my body's vacuum cleaners are going to clean up all the thorns. My brain's going to process properly, file system, everything that I did in the day. Amazing things happen when you sleep. Forgiveness is a choice. Just do it. Just do it. You'll get better at it. Practice makes perfect. Practice makes permanent. Repetition is the mother of retention. And repetition deepens the impression. These pathways are built in our brain. We can rewire our brain. Right up until the day we die, we can rewire our brain. And if you say it's good, guess what? It will be. And if you say it's terrible, guess what? It will be. That's the choice factor. Forgiveness is a choice, and love is a choice. Love is not dependent on feelings, because our limbic system, our emotional brain, it goes up and down like the wind. Your words affect your feelings, so be very careful on your words. Your words reveal your feelings, and you can't let them all out. Some say it's your right to speak your mind. It's your obligation not to speak your mind. You don't know the effect of your words on your hearer. And the proverb that says, he that speaketh like the piercings of a sword. Do you know who it's the piercings of a sword to the most? The speaker. The speaker. The speaker's getting hurt just as much as the one who's receiving them. And when people speak to you like that, just let it, you know what you say? Poor thing, he's got a problem. He's got a problem, you don't take it on. Your words reveal your feelings. What happens if you're upset? What if you're upset and angry? Go for a run. Can't run. Have a cold shower. It's Melbourne. Will it have an even better effect? Have a great big glass of water. Have some chamomile tea. Calm down. Calm that limbic system, that emotional brain down until your guardian's strong. Your words reveal your feelings, so you've got to deal with them back there. Back there in the I want section. The fifth law is the law of adaptation. We've got a changeable brain. And because we've got a changeable brain, we can rewire our brain. There's two proverbs that talk about it. Interesting to note that medicine only acknowledged it in the last 13 years. One proverb is Proverbs 13 verse 20, where it says, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools will be destroyed because of the law of adaptation. It's also called neuroplasticity, soft wire. The other proverb is Proverbs 22:24, where it says, make no friendship with an angry man. With a furious man thou shalt not go, lest thou learn his ways, because of the law of adaptation. Because of the law of adaptation, our brain can grow and our brain can shrink. It is true that there are things that damage brain cells, and if they're damaged, they don't grow again. But there are three things today that medicine is showing can stimulate new brain cell growth in the hippocampus part of the brain. Three shockers cause a release of brain-derived neurotrophic factor. Brain-derived neurotrophic factor is a protein that stimulates neurogenesis. Neurogenesis means new brain cells. What are the three shockers? They're shockers. Prepare yourself. You're going to really have to get to the I will to do them because they're shockers. Fasting. An easy way to do it is to have breakfast like a king, lunch like a queen, then have an 18-hour fast through to the next morning. Or come to Misty Mountain Health Retreat, where we make it really easy for you, and you do 2 days on vegetable and fruit dresses. That's a shocker. It's a shock to the body when the food stops coming. That's one shock. The next shock is finishing every hot shower with a quick cold. Notice I didn't say long cold. I'm kind. That's a shocker. You'll go, it's a shocker. But it's going to stimulate your brain to release the brain-derived neurotrophic factor, new brain cells. Number three, high-intensity interval training, running for your life for 30 seconds uphill, then having a break and then doing it again. That's a shocker. You're like you're dying. Something else can grow. Every time we learn something new, we develop another dendrite. I love memorizing. It's one of my favorite things to do. And every time I learn new verses, another dendrite. If you play the piano and learn new pieces, there are three things that science shows are the most powerful in developing new dendrites. One is learning a new language, learning a musical instrument, and memorizing Bible verses, because the Word of God is quick, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even into dividing asunder of soul and spirit and the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. That's the Word of God. That's the Bible. How long does it take to really solidify in your brain? Probably about 21 days. I learn a verse a week. If I do any more, it gets all jumbled up and I can't remember anything. So every time you learn something new, another dendrite grows. That one brain cell can develop 70,000 dendrites. I can hardly get my mind around that one. And you know what the research shows? We can be growing new dendrites right up until the day we die. So there are three things we can grow. We can grow new pathways, we can grow new dendrites, and we can even grow new brain cells. What about shrink? When you forgive anyone who's ever hurt you in your life, your glial cells are activated to mop up all the foams, and the pathway to that memory actually shrinks. So it needn't be part of your daily thoughts. That's the good news. So what's the bad news about shrinking? If you don't use your brain cells, you will lose them. Number seven, the last law is the law of diversion. And the law of diversion states that when something is so firmly denied as to refuse any hope for it, the brain has the ability to divert to other pursuits. I love that law. Because sometimes God closes a door, but what's the saying? When God closes a door, he opens a window. An Italian man said to me, no. What we say is when God closes one door, he'll open two. Have you found that? So you can see by what I've shown you this morning that you can rewire your brain right up until the day we die. And when we start rewiring our brain, it will not be easy. And my prayer is that you will take up the challenge to rewire your brain. Rewire your brain so that you can have a healthier, happier life.
Okay.
Hey, Gerard, the Telegram channel is just called Barbara O'Neill, by the way.
Hang on, just let me get rid of this stuff here. Go ahead, say that again. The Telegram channel is what?
It's simply called by her name, Barbara O'Neill. I thought it had a different name, but it's just by her name. If anyone's on Telegram, you want to see some of her material. Also, are you going to cover the Javier Milei winning in Argentina?
I don't know much about it. I heard that, but I don't really know what the issues were. So if you want to go ahead and do that, we should. Argentina is a very important country. You know, they were most like America before they were taken over. They were well on the way to giving us a run for the money with their GDP and stuff. And they really went downhill with some bad leaders put in with these shiesty voting machines. But go ahead. You want to talk about
that? That's a good intro. I study Spanish, and my primary teacher is an Argentinian. And she was telling me of the things, the shenanigans that go on with voting there and all that kind of thing. And I'd say, yeah, we have the same thing here. And she was very surprised by this. And we've been discussing this for months and even longer. Years at this point. But anyway, she thought it was a real long shot that he would win because of all the cheating that they do. And the cheating is very similar. People who don't live in the district, people who are no longer living, period, are voting. Children are voting. People in different countries are voting. People are voting more than one time. All of this. But what they have worse than what we have is they have more people on the government teat. And so that was a big problem, the idea that he might win, because there's too many people dependent upon, because their inflation is just crazy. They had a gas crisis, a fuel crisis, just a few weeks ago, still wreaking havoc, but their inflation is like 200%. It's insane. But he pulled it out. He won. And so this makes me think that the white hats truly are in control, or just more evidence that they're in control, the idea that he won. But it was very well received. I saw some videos about it or of it, and there were celebrations in the streets. And a lot of people are really, really happy. But my conclusion, one of them is that and the white hats are in control. And I don't know if you've heard this guy. Tucker Carlson went down to interview him. He's 53 years old. I think he was a professional soccer player. I think he was a goalkeeper. He's an economist. But he makes Trump look like a church boy, a Boy Scout, the things he says. You should go see some of his videos. He doesn't pull any punches, and the country loves him. So anyway, it's really good news. She told me that he said it will take 30 years to straighten Argentina out. But with some of the talk that I hear from these alternative sources, things could happen a lot faster than that. At least I hope that's the case. But the leftists really destroyed that country. But things are looking good now, and I yield.
Yeah, and it can go fast as long as the roadblocks are removed. And just like America, you know, we have a lot of roadblocks And certainly in NLA, we know many of them. We've run out right up against them. And that's part of, you know, what the problem is because and it's so pervasive, it's right down into our counties and our towns. That's how bad it is. That's how subverted we've gotten with this whole love of money thing that people like Soros and the Chinese were able to buy all of our officials in one shape or form or another. They own, excuse me, they basically own them all. And so there is going to be no judicial solution here. We may get a good ruling here or there once in a while, and that's only with the white hats really putting pressure on them. I think the only reason we got the good rulings that we did get out of the Supreme Court is because the military intelligence came in and they said, look, it, we got this on you. You better rule constitutionally. Otherwise, we're going to go ahead and give you the sentence that you deserve for treason, which is to be hung by the neck until you're dead, you know. So I think that's the only reason we got some good decisions. And I think the thing that, you know, if we had to go into the legal system to get restitution and for all the wrongs that have been done to all the people, we'd be here 100 years. I don't know if you could even do it. Because if they get lawyers and they run their process the way they run them now with their rules-based system, they'd have it tied up forever. But that's not going to happen. What I think is going to happen is it's going to end up being military tribunals. And so even though you do get somewhat of a Fifth Amendment right, you really don't. You don't get to stall the court, and you don't get to have all this time to obfuscate the case and move it around. Decisions are made right away. It's admiralty law, basically. It's when the captain gets you out there and assembles all the men and they pick four or five guys and you boom boom boom, guilty, okay, walk the plank. And that's what we're going to do, and that's what's going to facilitate getting us through the judgment and the restitution period in America. And I think that it's starting. There's many signs that I see that the white hats are in control and they are winning. And that doesn't mean that we don't have a very painful period to go through. They talk about this near-death experience that the country, it's not the country, it's the world. This is worldwide, by the way. This whole World Bank and the Bank of International Settlements and all that, it's all evil. It's all unconstitutional and all designed so that you never get off that hamster wheel, that you're a slave. And that has to go away. You know, they never left us alone. The fingers of evil have been in our government since the beginning. A lot of the wars that we went through was because they resented us breaking away from England. We've been paying England forever, and with the Act of 1871, that completely removed our Constitution. We only have the illusion of freedom in this country, and it's gotten worse and worse. And so, it's time to fix it. And I mean, that video we just played, where she talks about, you know, the will and the intellect and habits. Do you think maybe that information could help with starting a committee of safety, with getting the country back online? First thing we got to do is get ourselves straightened out, because there's so many people with the wrong ideas and the wrong methodologies and the bad habits. Well, look, if you can change a bad habit in 21 days, I mean, if we're committed to that, there's a lot of work we could do. There's a lot of new pathways. There are a lot of new dendrites we could be growing as a nation and as a people. And this is a truly global thing. It's going on in every nation. These families that are running things have their fingers in every nation. And you're going to see this upheaval. They're not going to go away easy, but they've had their main lines of funding and influence cut. And that was largely, I believe, due to Trump and the military in his first term and some of the things that he did. And he went around the world and made agreements with these leaders to get rid of this poison that has been in the world forever. And I mean, what more abused people than the Chinese people? They've been under the thumb of dictatorial, totalitarian leadership forever. And they've had enough, as has many, many other people. And right now, whether you know it or not, Russia is freer than we are. You can go to Russia, start up a business. It's very free. It's more like the Wild West, but I prefer that. You know what I mean? You just protect yourself and speak softly and carry a big stick. But Russia's leaving us in the dust. They've been the most sanctioned country ever, and they have something like a $32 billion surplus. And we're a free country, and what do we have? We have a $30 trillion deficit. So who's doing the right thing here? I think Russia turned the corner a long time ago when the wall went down, and this whole Russia thing is all a lie that they want to use against us, you know. So there are alliances being made between the leaders of these countries, and the ones that have been selected and put in there, they're all going to be taken out. You're going to see it happen. And I think when you see Netanyahu go down and Biden go down, you're going to know it's happening. And I think it's a lot sooner than you think. And it's not going to be easy, but you know, when you're healing a disease, it's you got to go through that healing crisis. You gotta cut out the rotten flesh. You know, you have to do a little bit of amputation there, and that's not easy, but it will save the life of the organism. And that's where we are right now. And we have to, these things have to be done. It's not just politics and religion, it's the whole picture. It's our whole, you know, they've got our food messed up, our air, everything. They're bombarding us with electronic. They can go in, they can send messages in your head. We need to get back to basics, or we don't stand a chance. I mean, even in the Bible, in Revelation, I believe it says, unless those days were shortened, even the elect would not have prevailed. So that's how, and it says in the Bible that part of our punishment is that God will give man strong delusions. And what's that mean? It means we believe the lie. We believe the lie that there's no difference between a man and a woman, or a girl and a boy, or that we can choose our own gender, and all this other crazy stuff that they got us even considering using. You know, I can't believe the exercise in pronouns and people actually being, allowing people to be prosecuted for this stupid, stupid stuff. I mean, I can't believe where we've come in the past 5 years, much less the past 50 years. It's really crazy. So, well, we got two people in the queue. I can keep talking. I got lots to say, but the queue is...
There is one more thing I did want to add about neurogenesis, the growth of new brain cells. Now, I'm not telling anyone to get high, okay? And you can get the benefits without the psychoactive effects. But there's a book by a fellow named Clint Werner. It's called Marijuana, Gateway to Health. And marijuana grown the right way, and the most medicinal marijuana is marijuana grown in sunshine. But it causes neurogenesis. We were always taught that it kills brain cells. In fact, it does just the opposite. But if you want to look into that research for yourself, feel free. the Bible does say we are not to be drunk. We're to have a clear mind. So I'm not telling anyone to get high, but just something to remember. Again, you can get it without the psychoactive properties.
Listen, if the government tells you not to do it, chances are you should be doing it. Everything they tell us is a lie and backwards and upside down. And what did they do? They came out with the movie in the 30s, Reefer Madness, and they said, oh, marijuana causes black men to rape white girls. This is the propaganda they were putting out. And why were they doing that? You know why they were doing that. Because cannabis, hemp, which they make rope out of, because there's all different strains of it. Look, you could smoke all the hemp until you die and you'd never get high. There's no THC in it. But Rockefeller and what's the other guy's name there? They're all oil guys and they're all bankers. And hemp and cannabis have such qualities that they would put much of their oil business out of business. Henry Ford designed a car completely made from hemp, including the panels and the frame. He made a plastic that was stronger than steel. He even burned the hemp oil in the tank. We could run this country on hemp, and it also cures cancer. You ever hear of Rick Simpson's Run from the Cure? He's healed many people, and they turn him into a guy that was running from justice. Well, because he was healing people. And so, you know, if you make clothes out of hemp, you can bury them in the ground for 20 years and come back and wash them out. And they're not rotted. They don't rot. So it's not good for the textile industry. It's not good for the oil industry. And it cures such a host of things that you can't believe it. So it's not good for the pharmaceutical industry. And so all these guys that are running things, that's what these corporations, that's what they wanted to have the monopolies on. So one of the things they did was outlaw marijuana, saying all these things that you just said. Well, if you're going to outlaw anything, as far as I'm concerned, and they already tried it once and we know it doesn't work, but alcohol is a much worse poison than marijuana ever, ever, ever could be.
Good point. And you have an endocannabinoid system. You don't have an endo-alcohol system. It's ridiculous.
Exactly. We have the receptors. God's not stupid. You know, he put them things in there for a reason. They're going to tell us that no, they're no good. It's no good. You know, nobody ever died from eating or smoking too much pot. But you could kill yourself with alcohol in fast order.
It'll put holes in your brain. It's called Korsakov syndrome. It's a real thing. And I saw something recently that I had never heard of or ever considered. But you're right about hemp. You couldn't ingest enough hemp to get high. But we used to grow wild all across or many places in the country, and the animals would eat it, and then we in turn would eat the animals, and that would help us as well. So they outlawed it all because it was just too good for us, I yield.
Do you know it puts nitrogen back in the soil better than some of the plants that grow like clover? That it will grow on the rockiest soil.
That's amazing.
It's just got so many good qualities, you know. And you know, the fact that they don't want us to do it should speak to those people of us who are awake and know that most of the things they told us are lies.
Amen.
Listen, I'm not a flat earther, but I'm telling you what, I might become one before we're done, because they've really done even taken the science and skewed it in order for them to bring us where they wanted us. So we're not, you know, if we get through this, we're going to have that 5,000 year leap into the future. They've been holding technology back from us, amazing technology like med beds, healing with frequencies. You know, there's just so much out there that has gone that's languished and gone by the wayside because these powers that be that need to control everything and make all the money don't want us to have this knowledge. And, you know, we have great abilities as human beings, and even Christ said, don't you know that if you believed in my Father like I do, you would do greater things than I? That's a big statement. No, he was healing people, bringing people back from the dead. So technically, we could have those abilities. You know, we can. There are mental and spiritual and physical abilities that have been stunted in us purposely, because certain people want to control us. It's a sickness, this business of controlling everybody. But anyway, I'm going to open the queue up. We got a couple people. We'll try to get through it here. We got the better part of an hour left. And so, let's see. David Smith's first in line. Go ahead. You're in. You're open, David. Oh, I've lost David. Who do I have unmuted? Mike?
Yeah.
Go ahead. What's your question, Mike?
I have a court date next Monday on a illegal concealed carry charge.
Yeah.
And I've just got a couple of questions. I've requested that the district attorney enter into evidence if there is a grand jury indictment, and I don't believe there is one. When they don't do that, do I verbally make a motion to dismiss based on lack of due process? And this is the initial arraignment, by the way.
Okay. Well, you could make the motion. It's probably better if you write it.
Okay.
But you know, you can object and you can say that.
Okay.
Because technically, if you say it in court, you got to be careful what you say in court, because they'll hold you to it.
Okay. You know? So it's better to just not say anything and then answer in writing.
Well, what John does a lot of times is, like, if he knows they're going to do that, he'll prepare the paper ahead of time. He'll say, Your Honor, I have a motion prepared for this because I would like to make a motion for dismissal, and I have the paper here that, you know, I'll go ahead and file it. I'll give it to you now. You know, so you could do that too.
Okay.
They could stonewall you. You know, that's the problem. One of the reasons we're not getting anywhere in the courts is because the judges and the prosecutors, they're all in bed together.
Yeah, and that was my next question. The judge, I believe, is married to the DA. It's either herself or her daughter that is married to the DA.
Well, there's a problem right there.
Right. Now, should I just, I'm guessing that before anything starts, I should request another judge, correct?
He should have recused himself. Yeah. Well, you know, I don't know if you should save that one and give this guy a chance to do the right thing. He probably won't anyway, just by you telling me that he's sitting there. It sounds to me like he wants to railroad you anyway.
Yeah, it's a she, but yeah, same thing.
Yeah, why didn't she recuse you herself?
Yeah, I have no idea.
She's married to the DA that's prosecuting?
Yeah, it's either her or her daughter. I had my daughter with me, and we both heard different things. I heard her say that it was her daughter who was married to the DA, and my daughter heard her say that she was actually married to the DA. So it's one or the other.
Well, if the judge doesn't recuse herself, then the DA has to. One of them has to, right?
Yeah, it makes sense to me.
Yeah, come on.
Why doesn't he go ahead and write the paper beforehand?
That's what I just told him to do.
Okay. Yeah, I think you're right.
Walk in there with. Actually, you could file it before court. Or you could do like John does and walk in there and say, "Here, Your Honor, I have this paper." You know, if you want to hear what they got to say, and you see, you got to be good at talking in court, though, to do this. Because, see, I would hold that back while I gave them a chance to hang themselves or not. But you always got to have plan B. Okay. So, like say, well, you should be, you know what, you should be recusing yourself because it's been brought to my attention that there's this conflict here, you know. I mean, you can go ahead and let them try to make a decision and see which way it's going, and then, you know, or just put the paper in before you go and see what they do about it. It's anybody's guess because the courts are so corrupt.
Right.
What state are you in?
California.
Oh, geez, that's as bad as New York, maybe worse.
Yeah, I agree.
Well, I don't know, but that's what you got to do, and then, you know, you got to keep punching. What are you going to do? You can't lay down.
True.
Because
I think that's a good idea. I think I'll go ahead and prepare a motion and just take it with me in the court.
Yeah. I mean, there's a chance that I don't know what other defenses that you're going to do, but the fact that there's no indictment,
I requested two. I filed a paper. I requested two things. I requested that if there is an indictment, they place that into evidence, and I also said that I'm unaware of any injured parties. If there is one, I would like the name to be placed into evidence. So I'm thinking either one of those.
You know, they probably filed the DA probably filed what they call an information. But that doesn't take the place of an indictment. I mean, sometimes they think it does, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like the DA's bringing the charge, which is baloney. Ultimately, you're supposed to have a jury of your peers. Where's the jury of your peers? The first jury of your peers is the grand jury. Looks at the total case to see that if there's enough evidence to indict, and then if there is, that still doesn't mean you're guilty. Then they got to put it in front of a jury of your peers.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the initial indictment now you're going in on?
Yeah. It's the arraignment. I did appear in court, and I asked for an extension last time.
Right. Okay. So now you're gonna have to tap dance and see what happens.
Yep.
Well, won't they be quoting a statute of some kind? And
yes,
you'll have to defeat the statute.
Well, yeah, they are charging me with a misdemeanor statute. A charge of illegally carrying a firearm without a permit.
Mm-hmm.
But still, there's no grand jury indictment on it. And
even if they have a statute, they gotta produce evidence in front of a grand jury.
Yeah, and still there is also no there is not an injured party. So at least that's what I'm thinking on my.
So what do they have about a statement from an arresting officer or something like that?
No, there isn't anything else in the court file. I don't know, they may add something at some point.
Well, wait a minute, you must have got arrested by an officer, no?
Yes, I was arrested, and I was put into jail, and then I was released on a promise to appear in court.
Right, so there's no statement from the police officer? There should be.
Well, maybe there is. Yeah, maybe there. Yeah, I got the original.
Well, he's supposed to sign an affidavit. They never do. In other words, yes. There should be a sworn statement from somebody. But really, that's what the grand jury's supposed to take care of, you know?
Yeah.
Well, if they gave you a ticket, that's got a statement of the statute that you violated or they claim you violated.
They didn't give me a ticket, but they did give me, they gave me something upon release. I don't know what they called it, but it showed what the charge was and the court that I was supposed to appear in.
Well, it should state if it accused you of something, it should state what law they're saying you violated.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it does.
Well, it did. It told him what he was accused of and when he had to answer for it, right?
That's right.
Gave you the number of the statute.
Yep. Yep, that's correct.
So that's, as far as they're concerned, that covers that.
Yeah. Yep.
But still, how do they get around the grand jury? I don't know.
Well, guess we'll find out.
I mean, I don't know if, you know, it's so crazy today. Are there certain counties and states that have cut out grand juries? I mean, that's our due process right. And trial by jury is guaranteed by the Constitution and the Fifth Amendment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so.
Yep.
I don't know.
Okay, well, I guess we'll see. I appreciate your answers and your time, and I'll let you guys know how it turns out.
Okay, thank you very much. Let us know. Yeah.
Have a good night.
Yeah, you too.
Okay, bye.
Okay, it looks like next question, Hayden, Allison.
Hi, how do I unmute?
You are unmuted, so whatever you did,
oh,
you
good,
did right.
Oh, good, thank you. All right, this is my first rodeo on the phone. Actually, two things. One thing is I've always heard that marijuana is a gateway drug for alcohol. You know, for if you go to an AA meeting, it's total abstinence for that reason. Not to say that there aren't uses for hemp that are medicinal at all, but there is that problem that, you know, once you start changing your psyche, you know, your consciousness, then you go on to heavier drugs. So there's that's out there. But I actually have a situation similar. The fellow that just called, I was arrested. I ran for Congress twice in Alameda County against Congressman Eric Swalwell. I have been active in the whole election validity thing. And, you know, I've been on calls with New York Audit, and we have our Itaca team here in Alameda County, and just been very active observing. Anyway, I was arrested on November 18th observing a process, the 1% manual tally, and they put me in jail overnight just for taking a picture of my notes, which you probably know is allowed under California election code. In any case, I can't get a lawyer to represent me. I have to do it pro se. It's civil. And so, you know, I'm kind of throwing it out there. If people know of people who have been successful in their pro se civil rights case, I could use some guidance, you know, that wasn't too long ago, just in terms of, you know, having a heads up on.
What state is this?
California, Alameda County,
okay.
Oakland, California. Yeah,
yeah, okay.
It's a very corrupt county, unfortunately. And so it's, you know, you can't get representation. I can't get Pacific, you know, Law Institute. I can't get them to do it. I can't. It's really crazy.
Gerard, is Bill Thornton still around in California? Because
I don't. He's quite old now. I don't know.
Well, if not, she could still access our recordings of him. I don't know where they are on the website, but you know, he had a lot of success in California.
I think she should be looking at our law course.
That's an excellent point. Yeah, that's a great.
It has all the processes.
Time.
They're going to kill her with process. If you don't know the process and you go in there, you're not going to file this or file that. You're going to be killed on that. Never mind the merits of the case. You know.
Right.
So
right.
I don't know. You know, it's a hard thing. Now you, I don't know how much stall time you have. I mean, you're out of jail. It wasn't a felony. What kind of charge was it? A misdemeanor? What?
They never charged me. They, in the interest of justice. So it was just like having fun, you know. I didn't do anything, and they didn't advance the charge to the district attorney. They just put me in jail overnight, and then they tried to call it a detention, which obviously it's imprisonment. So
Did they schedule you for a hearing?
Well, it's kind of a long story. We did submit the whole group because what the case I'm trying to build is based on lawlessness, not just false imprisonment, arrest and imprisonment, but lawlessness. So saying that the Secretary of State, because she has not done her job in enacting federal and state statutes, the procedures and practices, basically the registrar is, you know, pretty much setting up their own processes for vote by mail, and it's against, you know, the National Voter Registration Act and Help America Vote Act. They're, you know, it's going through vote by mail itself. They're not verifying citizenship. There's no procedure for that. So the voter rolls are all messed up because no one's doing their job around that. Also, the you know, if there are any ballot problems, corrections, federal law says that you have to contact the voter. They're not. They're going into this because it's vote by mail, and once the ballot's been separated from the envelope, it has no identifier on the ballot at all. So all rejected ballots go to what they call adjudicators, and they have the ability to change your vote. They can determine what your intent is, and they have the power to change the vote. And I witnessed that those rooms were full of, now with all this China threat, basically Alameda County, those people that were adjudicating, it was a sea of straight black hair. I grew up in Asia. I speak Chinese. I hear the Chinese that's spoken. I can, heard it in the halls there. And it's, the, you know, what they call Jingpian Zidoguoyu, which is the perfect, Beijing, you know, an intelligentsia. So these are not, you know, just anybody here.
Right. And so they really put resources in California to do this.
That's the first bite. Yeah.
Yeah, this is China, you know, coming right down and doing it. Yeah, look, I think that problem is on its way to go away. So I think if you can just hang in there long enough, you're going to see some, I don't know what you want to say, restitution. They're going to be going after all those people. You know, I don't. There's got to be groups out there that you can group with, because California is so bad. You can't be the only one that's fighting this. You know, so I think right now I would try to stall, because I think things are going to get worse, but in the process of getting worse, they're going to get better. You know,
right. I believe that.
And I think that as corrupt as California is, and as corrupt as New York is, New York is so bad, it gives me hope that we're gonna get better first, because it's absolutely ridiculous. It's ludicrous, and everybody knows it. So the first place I think is going to get freedom is California and New York, because that's the first place that the so-called revolution is going to take place. That's where people are finally going to put their foot down. And that's probably where our the judges and the prosecutors that are corrupt are going to be taken out first. You know, it makes me feel good that Trump has a couple of bad judges and a prosecutor working against him, because it makes me think that they're going to clean up New York first, because he's in court here. You know?
Yeah, I think that's what he's doing. A lot of this is setting precedents. That,
exactly.
You know, it's going to have a ripple effect across the country. And the fact that, okay, we're not a swing state and they haven't really had the publicized investigation, I still believe, or I want to believe maybe, that the Space Force has the data on California's steal and, you know, the theft of 2020 and probably
they have anything that's electronic, they have. As far as the mail-in ballots, there may be some electronic information that correlates to them. You know what I mean? But just like the Thousand Mules, he ended up using their cell phones, and Space Force has that. So they could show them going back and forth to those boxes, one person putting in, you know, making hundreds of trips to the same box.
Hey, Gerard, given what you said, considering what Allison has said, she sounds like a real go-getter. So she's not going to want to sit on her hands, and there's no one that's going to help her, not any of the entities that she mentioned. So I think you're right that she should consider our court access in the common law. If you go to our homepage and go to the blue tab, which is at the top of the homepage, and you hover over Education Starts Here, third down in the tabs that come up is court access in the common law. Click on that, read about it. You can take that course. You'll learn all of the processes, and then you can come back on Monday nights. John is almost always here and has been for years. And you can ask John and Gerard questions, and they can help you if you want to be proactive. It is an excellent course and something you might want to check out. And you can, again, have John live on Monday nights for questions, and
that,
I yield.
That court cost, it has a fee, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. It does, unless you have hardship, and John has already shown that he'll do this. But if you can't afford it, it certainly does
help.
Well,
I got to tell you, they won't let me work. Basically, I'm a teacher, but they're not.
Well, then John will work with you, and just tell him, and you can get in touch with you can get me at Eric@National Liberty Alliance. If you'd like help, I'll get in touch with John, and I'll run it past John. If you need help, that's fine. There's no big deal. And you can take the course, and I think it would help you and us and the country. The more who learn, the better.
Did you register on our site yet, Allison?
I thought I did, but I was getting emails from Jan years ago, and then I got dropped off.
You got to make sure you're registered, because the next step then is to become a contributing member, because a lot of those pages that he's talking about won't open up unless you're giving $5 a month, and so John has to flip that switch for you.
Okay. I see.
So,
okay.
You know, besides just the course, you got to be a contributing member, so make sure they flip both of them so that you can get all the information in the courses.
And I did log out. I did log out to make sure that the pathway that I took from the blue tab would be for anyone who comes to the web page. So it's different if you're logged in as a member. But if you go the way that I said, then you'll get it whether or not you're – but if you can contribute, great. But if not, like I said, just send me an email, Eric@NationalLibertyAlliance.org. I'll get the information to John, and we can take it from there.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. Yes,
you're
I will.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Okay,
yes.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Zach.
Okay, we'll take the next caller now. Who's this? Anthony from West Virginia. You're unmuted. Go ahead. Hello? You're unmuted. West Virginia, can you hear me? Or did we put you to sleep? I think you were up there before and I accidentally
just
knocked.
Just a second. I muted myself here with my phone because I didn't want to make any sounds that went through. I didn't know if I was unmuted, if I was muted on your side or not. So, can you hear me now?
I do.
Good. My VA doctor, I have some chronic pain issues, and he suggested that I look into medical marijuana, and he can't handle anything about telling you where to go or anything, so I've been looking to find a doctor. I hear there's doctors that are very well, they're chemists. And they know what your challenge is, and they could tell you what to use without. I don't want to get high. I want to stay away from getting high. But if I can find a strain of marijuana that I could use to help my pain, and my other discomfort. That would be one.
Well, look, you can use CBD, which doesn't have a lot of THC in it, and it's bred for that purpose. There's all kinds of things you can do. And this business about getting high, they got everybody scared about it, but yet you'll take oxycodone, and you'll take all, you know, oxycodone is designed to be addictive, and it actually increases the pain when you come off of it. That's the built-in addiction. You can't get off of it because
tramadol does the same thing. I've been on
they all are bad, horrible devil medicines. I'm sorry, and they got us all paranoid.
I can get off tramadol.
Listen,
if I can get off tramadol, I would.
Listen to me. You can have marijuana with the highest THC, and I know this for a fact. That if you're taking it, and it depends, I mean, you could be smoking it, you could be ingesting it, there's many ways of taking it. If you take just the right amount of milligrams for the pain, you don't get high. You know what I mean? You get relaxed. One of the things that the THC does in the Rick Simpson oil that where it's made with THC is it's used a strain called indica, and what indica does is it makes you sleep. Well, you heal when you're sleeping, when your body goes that's when all the healing is done. And the problem with cancer patients is you're up, you're nervous, it's part of the condition where you don't get rest. And that's part of what kills you, because you can't heal if you're not sleeping.
Yeah.
So they got everybody afraid of getting high. I also have read many, many books through the years, and I was reading a book that was written by a wartime surgeon, and he said he never had anybody get hooked on morphine. What's the one they use when you get shot?
Morphine.
Yeah, morphine was the go-to. He said, I never had anybody get addicted to morphine. He said, because I would give it to them just in the proportion for their pain. He said, there is no addiction if you don't give them more than what's necessary to control the pain. If you allow them to go over that, then they get high, then they get hooked. But if you decrease the morphine in proportion to the pain decreasing, they never get hooked. So it's like you have to use some common sense. And as far as marijuana being a gateway drug for alcohol, it's the exact opposite way. I'm sorry, I don't agree with that at all. I think alcohol is a gateway drug for many other drugs, and it adversely affects the body. And look, I don't think there's anything wrong with drinking alcohol if you're doing it to actually could be medicinal. Matter of fact, we know that a little bit of wine, especially in the elderly, is a good thing. So but even the alcohol helps you relax and opens up the blood vessels, and there's all kinds of good things. And as long as you don't drink too much and you're able to function and you're not going over the limit. You know, alcohol's been around a lot of years. But if you're gonna use it, you gotta use it wisely, just like anything else. You know, moderation is the key to life. And so, you know, if you're going beyond its medical benefits and then you go into overdose, well, what can I say to you? You overdose, you know what I mean? You weren't prude, you know?
Well, when I was younger and I used to drink alcohol, I drank drunk. Sometimes I'd be sipping on my brandy with my joint with me then, and I just don't want to get back into any of that. That's why I don't want to get.
Well, once you have an addiction, you have to be careful because it's very easy to fall back.
Yeah, that's why I want to be careful. I don't want to get back into that. I love beer. I haven't had a beer since 1984. I used to make my own beer. I made a beer that rivaled San Miguel as far as I was concerned. I used San Miguel's own yeast. There was a little thread of yeast at the bottom of each San Miguel when I used to buy it, and I just took their own yeast and I made my own beer. That's pretty good. That's what I'd like to do, if I can get it, is the name of that book. Who said there was a medical marijuana book somebody was talking about, if I get that title?
Yeah, I actually communicated with the guy. He wanted me to write a review on Amazon, I think it was. And so we communicated back and forth a few times. Real easygoing fella. And he did several interviews. But anyway, his name's Clint Werner, W-E-R-N-E-R, and it's called Marijuana, Gateway to Health. And I agree with Gerard totally. The gateway thing, that's absolutely propaganda. No offense to anyone who thinks it might be different, but that's total propaganda. The two physical symptoms from becoming, quote, addicted, unquote, to marijuana, you know what they are? They're amotivational syndrome, which is called being lazy, and the other one is irritability. Those are your two physical symptoms that you'll have if you smoke chronically. It's a potential to have. I've known people that get high and are not stricken with amotivational syndrome, a.k.a. laziness. So, you know, if you're not a shiftless layabout, you're not going to have to worry about that. But anyway, Marijuana, Gateway to Health. He's got a ton of references in there, citations, and that can lead you down other pathways too. Plus, Gerard keeps saying this one fella's name. I forget what it was.
Rick Simpson.
What is it? Rick what?
Rick Simpson. He was from Canada.
Go on.
And he has he you can look him up. He tells you how to make the oil, you know, and you can buy it from him. It's like a tar, and he cures cancer with it. And by the time you get done with the I forget how many grams it is, your cancer is cured, and he's cured many, many people in advanced stages of cancer. And of course, they're persecuting him. They made him a fugitive, so he's running around. Place.
That's what they do.
And Canada, he had to leave Canada because, you know, they were just, you know, after a while, once the big pharma gets their eyes on you, you know, then you're in trouble.
And, have you ever read the book World Without Cancer by G. Edward Griffin?
Yes.
He's got all those stories about people who cured cancer.
And I people think John has it on our website. It's on our website.
Yeah.
Yeah, the video, anyway.
But what I'm looking for and what I've found, what I've discovered in these last 2 weeks, that I've been looking for a good doctor to talk to. I mean, a real medical doctor that's supposed to have this chemical background that would guide me to the right strain that I'm supposed to use. I found that, you know, West Virginia used to have a list of doctors that you could go to, and now when you hit that link, the state of West Virginia, it's like a blank link. It doesn't show up with anything anymore. Yeah. And then when you do a search for it, it's like the wrong people have taken over the access to get you to go in. So, you know, it's like they're trying to streamline everything and take it away from the local personal.
They're shadow banning. Those guys. Try to go. Try to find yourself a naturopathic doctor. The regular MDs, you won't find. I mean, if you get a regular guy who's a chemist and an MD, they are rare. They're out there. You're gonna have trouble getting a hold of them, though. There are a few of them. But if you go into the alternative and naturopathy, those naturopaths, many of them have MD degrees. They have to go to college just like an MD does. So I would not be afraid to go to a naturopath, and even some nutritionists are very, very schooled in exactly what you're talking about. They don't need to be an MD to give you the help that you need. You need the knowledge of what to use, and it's out there, and it's not that hard to get. There's many people that know, that could guide you in what ones that you could try. And if you're gonna go CBD, heck, you could just grab a smorgasbord and try each one. There's no ill effect, whatever. It's either gonna work or it's not gonna work. You know,
You mean just any CBD oil that's over the counter?
Oh, yeah. I mean, no. You want to get something that's tested and certified and where it's grown and all that stuff. But what I'm saying is,
but does it have to be medical CBD oil?
Well, the medical one, the reason you would want something that's done from a dispensary or something is because you can gauge your dosages because it's written right on there. And then you know exactly, if you got something that somebody's making in their kitchen, unless they're really good, I don't know if they're going to be able to tell you how many milligrams of CBD that you're getting. Not that you even should care, because you could do it yourself. You could start slow with a dropper and you can increase it or decrease it depending on how you felt. Now, I tried some CBD that somebody gave me, because I get gout, I get joint pains if I'm not careful with my diet, and I'll go to that. I almost killed myself with NISADs, with ibuprofen and stuff, you know. So I started using, cannabis based stuff, and I tried some CBD that somebody brought me, and it was from a dispensary, and it's perfectly legal in every state, the CBD. It's not, there's no THC in it, so they can't outlaw it. But this stuff was grown specifically for that, and I'm telling you, it caused us, it worked fantastic, but I couldn't work with it. I had to lay down. It relaxed my legs so much, which it would be great to take before you go to sleep at night. Because that's
what my wife needs, something like that.
I'm telling you, it was unbelievable. I couldn't believe, I was like, this doesn't have any THC. I never felt so relaxed, and all the stiffness and out of my legs. Which is what I
get need. These tingles to keep me awake, especially the tramadol. If they just give me enough tramadol so that I'm always on the edge of tramadol withdrawal. They used to give me 6, and now they got me down to 4 a day, and I'm almost constantly in a tramadol withdrawal phase, which is really, really bad. And I'm hoping that this marijuana, like my doctor suggested, might take the edge off of that, so I don't have to put up with those tramadol withdrawal symptoms.
I'll tell you what,
they're really bad.
You might be able to completely get off of tramadol and just use.
I'd love to.
I'm telling you, when I broke my back, they put me on gabapentin. Oh my god! And I don't take anything. For years I've been trying to, listen, if I'm in pain, I used ibuprofen when I had to, you know what I mean? I'm not gonna sit there and suffer when there's a way, except for then when you end up taking so much that you're having blood in your stool, it's time to start thinking
about your gut.
You know what I mean? So
I do.
But the gabapentin, I was in the hospital only 4 days. I had to get off it before I left the hospital. And I looked up, I was having like 4 of the 5 side effects. You see things in the corner of your eyes that aren't there. You see people moving and things. It gives you hallucinations. And other such stuff. And it really affected me pretty quickly because I don't take a lot of other drugs. I don't know. But I gave my whole bottle away to somebody else. I couldn't stand it. I couldn't take it. Anyway.
I've encountered some drugs like that as well. I'm on as few drugs as I can be right now, pharmaceuticals. I've been in wellness, what do they call it? Alternative methods of healing and medicine for a while. But it's just I've been... This is the first time I've actually thought that maybe going back to marijuana as a medical
would work for me. I think you just use your head. It's a wise decision, and there's a couple of paths you can go down. And look, you can experiment. You're not gonna become an addict overnight from experimenting, especially when you're in pain. Like I said, just like that doctor with the morphine, what I've discovered, and you got to be careful with, and this is why it's good to get the, like if you're going to use an edible marijuana that has THC, it's good to get it from a laboratory because you know exactly how much you're taking, because that stuff, it takes so long to kick in and so what happens is you take a little bit of it and you're standing around, you don't think it did anything, so then you take a little more, and some of it is very slow acting, and then boy, 2 hours later you're zonked. You know what I mean?
Believe me, I remember those days.
Yeah.
So I'm a musician, man.
Yeah.
I've been backstage with bands with stuff that you don't want to know about.
Yeah. So
you know, but it's. I appreciate the information. So I'm going to look these guys up, and hopefully, I really am encouraged by what you're saying about the White Hats. I hope you're so right. I pray that you are so right about that, because I get so frustrated, reading things on Gab and all these headlines that are coming out. And who's this new guy, Mike Johnson, the new
speaker? Yeah.
I mean, he released the tapes, he released the videos, but what's the first thing he did was approve something to give Israel how much money? I mean, and is he supposed to be one of us, a good guy?
I don't know.
I don't think so, but he did release the videos.
He's most of the things he's done is pretty good, and he claims to be a Christian, and that doesn't mean he can't be confused because he's a Christian. That doesn't absolve him. And
that's true.
Look, they got us so brainwashed on Israel for so many years.
I know.
Everybody thinks that Israel, and the thing is, listen, it's not. Even Christ complained about the ones that call themselves Jews. I mean, they want to, they're Zionists, and they're not Jews, not at all. But yet, if you talk against the Zionists, they want to say you're anti-Semitic. It's got nothing to do with that at all.
Exactly. I've just come to realize that probably in just recent weeks or months. I mean, It could have been me being Speaker of the House and not realizing that yet, and then, okay, we've got to help Israel. You know, I could have been there doing that 2 months ago, 3 months ago.
Well, the ones that call themselves Jews that are really not Jews, that are running, and they run in the banking circles and stuff, they really use that to their advantage. And so they act, they're the chosen people and stuff. But what I got to say to them is, yeah, you were the chosen people. Yeah, Christ was born from your race, but he came to you and you crucified him, and he went to the Gentiles. Who's the only other nation that was formed under the God of nature, nature's God? That's America. We're the nation of the Gentiles. It's not Israel anymore. I'm not saying that he's not going to bless you because he has a covenant with them, but that's it. You know, we're the nation that he's going to protect, I believe. Because we're the ones that picked up that candle, so to speak, you know.
I say the true Israeli people are Israel. The people who are running the country Israel are not them.
They're Kassarian mafia, and they're just
right.
It's just
bad. Like what's running our country, the mafia. You know,
same people. It's the same people.
Right. Exactly. Always good talking to you, Gerard. I'm going to let you go.
Okay.
And we'll catch you next week, I hope.
Yeah. Okay, Dave, you've been unmuted. Go ahead. Are you there? Dave, you're unmuted. I don't know what state you're from.
I wanted to get back to the medical issue that we were talking about.
The what?
The medical issues that we originally talked about and how we're being conned by the medical system.
Yes.
I already brought this up before, but I was in the Marine Corps 70 years ago in the Korean War. And so that makes me almost 90 now. But look, they told me 4 years ago, they told me I had to go in because I had an irregular heartbeat. They told me that I had either one or three arteries clogged. And so I came home, talked to my wife about it, and she works at the VA hospital. So she asked me several questions, and I didn't have the answer. So she said she wanted to meet with another cardiologist. So we met with another cardiologist, and their story was a little bit different. And then we ended up going back to the VA psychologist, and their story was a little different. So they were telling me I had to go in and have this angiogram or whatever it is. They took this tube up my arm and into my heart to verify the condition. And because of the risk benefits associated with it, I said, well, have you checked my VA records? And the cardiologist said no. And I said, well, why haven't you done that? Because I've been going to VA for 60 years. And so that bothered me. I felt that I reached a point where I felt that if they're going to abort 60 million babies in 40 years for a few hundred dollars, if they stick this tube up my arm, how much more are they going to be motivated to put a stent in me for $40,000? So as it turned out, I decided not to do it, and I got on a protocol that was recommended by Ines Pauling, who won two Nobel Prizes in the same category, which I don't think anybody's ever done that. And he suggested that he had a cure for heart disease. And so I got on that protocol, and in about a year's time, I went back and had these tests all over again, and they said they didn't see any problem. So I went to the VA first. They did a test, did all these tests, and found out and told me that they didn't see that I had a problem. And I also went to St. Joseph Hospital in Tacoma, Washington, and I also went to University of Washington. All of them said I was all right, but I have this serious respiratory problem that we still haven't been able to handle. And I also was at Camp Lejeune when they had that contaminated water, and I was there for a year drinking contaminated water. So if you were to ask people on the street, you know, if you were at a military base and drinking contaminated water for a year, would that possibly affect you? Almost everybody will say yes, but they won't do anything or help me in any way because I don't have some form of cancer. So probably the day will come when I'm out of here, I'm not here anymore, that they'll finally decide that the condition that I have qualify for that, but it'll be too late for me to do anything about it.
They know exactly what's going on. I'm telling you right now. What was in that water in Camp Lejeune? Do you know? What did they say?
No, I don't know. They never did say.
Well, see, that's what I would try to find out, because whatever it was, there's ways of getting that out of your body, probably through chelation. Most of what's bothering us is poison. You know, the name. You know, when you say disease, what is it? The Latin root of the word disease is actually poison, and that's what most diseases are. They're poisoning.
Yes.
They want us to believe that they're live viruses and things, and that's not true. You know, what happens is you get these poisons in your body, and the body has to deal with them, and it encapsulates them, and then it expels them, and it puts a capsule around them, and it's an exosome. And it comes out, and they look at this thing under the microscope, and they see that compound in there, and they go, oh, that's the disease. No, it's the body. They say that's the virus. That was the body's attempt to encapsulate a poison and throw it out, and they're calling it a germ. It's the poison. It's the result of that the poison had on the body, and the body eliminating it. So their whole germ theory is on its head right now, as far as I'm concerned. You know, all this stuff is going to come out, you know.
Well, it just shows how corrupt even the medical system is and being manipulated by the multi-billion dollar drug industry. They want to get me on all this different medication, and that's just doing more harm. The thing with the contaminated water in Kaplajune, you know, since that was, 70 years ago, you know, what damage has that done to my system? And, even though if I still have that chemical in my body, I could have it renewed, what damage, permanent damage has it done in the meantime? You know, I have 20, like I said, I have 20 unresolved medical issues.
And, right.
So they claimed for a long time my respiratory problem was I had asthma for 40 years. They've been telling me I have asthma, and for 40 years I've been telling them I don't have asthma, because I know people that have asthma, when they take the asthmatic medicine, they're better. And when they give me this different strain of asthmatic medicine, it doesn't do any good. It had no effect on me. And so they haven't changed their philosophy for over 40 years and keep telling me I have some other strain of asthma. And now, about a year ago, I took another more advanced asthmatic test and they told me I don't have asthma. So they've been treating me for asthma. They've been treating me for a problem that I don't even have, and ignoring the real problem and not trying to find out what the real problem is.
And that's,
so how much damage has that done?
Well, the other thing is you've been taking an asthma medicine and you didn't have asthma, and how much damage does that do? My mother had asthma, and all my sisters did. I grew up with asthmatic people in my family. And my father was in the service, in the military. We got all the free medical care that we could possibly want. And she used to go, they'd send him overseas, and she was home alone with seven kids. And she was always going in with her asthma problem. And so they're medicating her and doing what they're doing. And, they give you adrenaline to speed up the heart and something else to open up this and that. And it's a chemical cocktail. Well, in between, she was having problems with her periods where she would bleed in between, and they wouldn't stop bleeding. So they sent her to a gynecologist. And so the gynecologist would schedule her for a D&C, and they'd do a scraping, and she'd be good for another couple months, and then it would all repeat. Well, she finally got fed up with this, and she started looking into natural care. Well, one of the first things that she did is she went to the library and got the PDR and looked up the asthma medicine they had her on. Well, lo and behold, don't you know, the side effect of the asthma medicine they were giving her was uterine bleeding. Hello?
Yeah.
Okay?
Yes. So
that's the type of stuff we're up against, you know?
Well, so the problem I have is I've gone to three different hospitals, very well-known hospitals in Washington State, and tried to evaluate what my problem is and why I can't breathe and why I'm having this respiratory problem. And they checked my heart out, they checked my lungs out, they did all of it, and they're saying, well, we don't see a problem. But they're not pursuing it to say, what is the problem then? Why can't I breathe?
Yeah, it's pretty bad when they're going to try to treat something, and then you say, well, what caused it? And they go, we don't know what caused it. Well, how can you treat it if you don't know what caused it? Please,
the main problem I see today is that they're not doing the research and development that they used to do, and they don't care about the senior citizen because they're not productive, they're not useful in society. They just as soon put us to sleep like they did the 60 million babies that they killed in 40 years. That's where we're at. There's not being any progress being made on how to treat these elderly people. Just put them in a nursing home and put them to sleep and keep them quiet.
Listen, two things. I'm not a doctor and I'm not giving you medical advice. I'm just giving this is for our entertainment here. But that being said, you need to do a little experimenting on your own, and I don't know exactly what's wrong with you, and I don't even care as far as that goes, because you have symptoms that you can be prescribed upon. I do homeopathy. I would listen to your cough, I would prescribe based on the symptoms that you're eliciting. But that all that being said is, if it was a heavy metal, and you can have it chelated out, it's never too late to get it out, because those, like, mercury continues to off-gas and poison you the whole time it's in your body. So it behooves you, if you knew that you had mercury, to take the chelation to get it out. That's if that was a heavy metal. I don't know if it is. But the other thing also is you can nebulize colloidal silver and breathe it in, and that actually heals the DNA of the cells of the lungs. It puts the telomeres on the ends back together, and you may get some relief from using colloidal silver in a nebulizer. And I use it for others.
Okay, that's a good idea.
So try it.
I ran into that before.
Yeah.
Okay, I appreciate you taking the time. I have another question, but I'll address that next Monday.
Yeah, we're over. I'm sorry I got all wrapped up, but what am I going to do? It was a good discussion, and I thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much for your help.
You're welcome. Yeah. Have a good night.
Good night.
Yeah, good night. Well, we're 6 minutes over. I don't know. If you don't mind, I guess we could do one more quick. And that'll only leave. I feel bad leaving all these people in the queue. Make sure you get back in next week. But I'm going to go ahead and open up Kathy. What's your question, Kathy?
Hi. Thank you very much. I had a hearing, probate court hearing, if you want to call it that. last Thursday on the 16th, I guess it would be, and the full hearing lasted six minutes. The judge had already ordered me to pay the attorney's fees of Irvin's, my late husband's two children who started this whole shenanigans. So he ordered me to pay $60,000+ in attorney's fees, and so this, I'm not even sure what this hearing was about. It was a motion to, I'm not a lawyer, so I don't understand all the pages and pages of documents. But at any rate, I talked to a lawyer. I stayed up all night the night before, composed an email that I sent to five different prospective lawyers, and one lawyer did call me back. At any rate, he told me what to say to the judge. The lawyer asked me if I'll just say his first name. I won't give out any more information. He's a very good lawyer, so I'm keeping my fingers crossed. But he told me what to say to the judge in requesting a continuance, and but the judge did not grant me a continuance. And so he asked when I asked for a continuance, he asked me how long of a continuance I would like, and I said 30 to 60 days so that my lawyer could get familiar with the case. And then he said no. He said he's declining my request for a continuance. He said you can hire a lawyer anytime you want to, and he asked the other party if they had their, if they had their order all written up in the opposing side, yes, that they filed it with the court. So I'm certain the judge is going to sign it. But do you have any other... So this lawyer said I was supposed to call him today or tomorrow. I didn't get a chance to call him today. But he told me that if he hasn't done any probate cases, he's much more of a constitutional type lawyer, representing two very good well-known, prominent people, doctors and stuff in Minnesota. So, but he said he wants to make sure that he's the best person for the job. And when I call him, when I was supposed to call him today or tomorrow, he said if he doesn't think he's the best person for the job, he'll refer me to somebody who is.
Well, I don't know how long this case has been going on. Has it been going on a long time?
Well, my husband was murdered in February 13th. So a couple days after he was murdered, they filed for... They're after the estate, so that's
February
what...
February 13th of what year?
This year.
Oh, so this is not a long-standing case. Listen, if this guy's a constitutional lawyer, he's going to be able to make hay with the...
He doesn't need to be a guardianship lawyer. He doesn't need to know probate laws.
Hey, look, due process is not happening, okay?
Right.
So he'll be able to do that. I think God help. I think God puts you in good hands with him. That you were able to pull him out at the last minute here, because you need somebody that can come. First of all, that judge is supposed to give you extra extra consideration because you're your own lawyer. He's
at
not.
Every single hearing, I requested a continuance to retain counsel, and every single hearing, he's denied it. I mean, it's just appalling denial of due process.
Right. So I don't know. I would see what this guy has to say. Mm-hmm. I mean, what are you going to do? You can beg him to reconsider. That will push it down the road another 20, 30 days is all you're going to get out of that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have to use your time wisely. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know. You know, all the ifs, ands, and buts of the case. That lawyer would read it and make a decision to know what the next motion would be. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, probably you should have had a countersuit long, you know, from the beginning. You know what I mean? It's always, I found with law, it's like, it makes a difference who gets there first. You want to be the first one to get there, because then you're working, when you're working as off your back as the defendant, so to speak, you're defending yourself.
Thing is, we filed for probate in Iowa, which is where my husband lived, and they filed this BS one in Minnesota with a 1987 will, and probate is clear. The state in which you reside, that's where you file for probate.
Oh, that might be your winning. That might be your ace in the hole right there.
But I did. I had a case. My lawyer withdrew in Iowa, and without my permission and without telling me. And there was a court hearing. There was a court hearing in Iowa, and I didn't even understand what it was for. It was so vague. It just said it was a 15-minute hearing for dismissal for lack of jurisdiction or some BS. I didn't even know who was filing for dismissal. I didn't know if it was our side or their side. It was so confusing. But at any rate, I had a hearing in Minnesota on that stupid traffic, totally unrelated traffic thing from 2020, and the traffic court in Minnesota said it could not be continued another time. It had been continued so many times, and so they said it couldn't be continued, so I requested a continuance of the Iowa one, and the judge denied me and dismissed the case in Iowa. So I got a clear cut. My attorney withdrew without any cause. The judge denied me a continuance, and this whole thing is just crazy, insane.
Yeah, you should say that again. So, listen, call that lawyer up and see what he says.
Yep.
I don't know what else to tell you, because I'm not familiar with the case, and I don't even know that I could advise you on such a case, but I clearly see that you definitely have a due process problem here. So.
Yep.
And I think that's probably the biggest one to go on. And okay. I think if this guy's a constitutional lawyer, he's going to see that right away. So all I can do is wish you good luck at this point and let us know what happens.
Wish me good luck and say some prayers.
Yeah, that's right. Well, I think God helped you anyway by giving you this guy, it sounds like.
Absolutely.
So
yep.
That's what he dropped in your door, and work with it, because there's a reason you're there with him.
Yep. Thank you so much for taking
okay.
my call. Bye-bye.
Yep. Okay. Anyway, I'm going to close her down because it's we're 15 after. I'm sorry about the people we didn't get to. And listen, we'll see you next week. Keep your prayers up. We're living in very tenuous, exciting times. Godspeed. We're going to need it. See everybody next week. God bless.
I'm looking at him.